A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Or even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good and lend. Expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Our responsive reading this morning is from Psalm 37, page 763 in Voices United. Give you a moment to find it. Do not fret because of the wicked or envy those who do evil. Trust in God and do good. Find your delight in God. God will make your vindication shine like the light. Be still before God and wait patiently. Let go of anger and abandon wrath. Those who do evil shall be cut off.
But those who look to God shall inherit the earth.
In a little while the wicked will be no more.
You will look greater, and the face will be empty.
But the meek shall inherit the earth.
They shall enjoy fullness of peace.
Salvation for the righteous comes from God, their refuge in time of trouble. Shelter. God's word is life.
On Friday, I encountered Sylvia, who could barely say hello before needing to tell me that she had picked up the scripture reading from the office that day, and it's terrible. I've got lots of questions about it, she said. And at first, I drew a blank, not recalling what the passage was and wondering what problematic pronunciations that Sylvia was worrying about. And then I remembered. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. And on Jesus goes with these increasingly impossible admonitions. "Oh, yes, I get it, Sylvia," I said. "Well, actually, I don't. So call me Sylvia if by tomorrow you do." Sylvia never called. So here we are. This is how it goes sometimes. I'm sitting there stymied by what I'm reading in the Bible, and in this case, I find this little scrap of paper tucked inside the front cover that I must have put there months ago. And from my own handwriting, I read, "Friedrich Buechner offers this advice about reading scripture. Don't start looking in the Bible for the answers it gives. Start by listening for the questions it asks. When you hear the question that is your question, then you have begun to hear much." So I come back to this impossible passage in Luke's gospel, and the question that is so there is, how? How on earth can we do this? You might be able to do this, Jesus, but we're not you. How? And then I began to recall this story from some time ago, which I looked up again. It's one that you might also remember from a few years ago. Her name is Antoinette Tuff, T-U-F-F. At the time, and maybe still, she was the bookkeeper at Ronald McNair Learning Academy in Georgia. She was in the school office when a young man came into her office, armed to the hilt, firing shots in the air, announcing he meant business. Antoinette instructed someone in the adjoining office to go and activate the lockdown. The armed man, unnerved by the movement of these other people, left her office to follow them, and it would seem it was then that Antoinette dialed 911. And then what you can hear is the recording of the next half hour when the line remains open between her and the 911 dispatcher. You can hear her wondering when the man steps out of the office, wondering if she should make a run for it. But then what if he sees her? In the end, she calls him to come back into the office and to let those others do what she instructed them to do. Now and again, you hear the voice of the young man nervous and panicking. You hear him aware of the police force outside, realizing that it's all over for him. How there's nothing to live for now, how he doesn't care now about his life or anyone else's. And then you hear Antoinette telling him how she wanted to commit suicide last year when her husband of 30 years left her. "But look at me now," she says to him. And she tells him how her life out of that despair opened up in ways she never thought possible. At some point, he says he should have gone to the mental hospital instead of doing this. "I'm not taking my medication," he says, "but it's too late now." "It's not too late," Antoinette tells him. "I can take you to the hospital, but they're going to kill me," he says. "They're not going to kill you. We'll tell them that you want to go to the hospital. I'll walk out there with you," she says. "You tell them I want to go to the hospital then. Tell the police to back right off." And so you hear Antoinette instructing the dispatcher to tell the police to back off, back right off, which she does, and they do. At some point, she asks him his name. Michael Hill, he tells her. Guess what, she says. My name is Hill, too. My mother's name was Hill. And then he asks for one policeman to come, just one. And she conveys that to the dispatcher, and the dispatcher comes back with an affirmative reply. Antoinette asks him if he thinks that he could put his gun down over there on the table. And then she asks him if he can take off all the ammunition and put it on the table. And then if he would just lie down with his hands behind his back. Gradually, he does all of this. So now tell that policeman to come, just that one, which she does. And then he says, kind of panicking, I need a drink of water. Can I have some water? Of course you can have some water. He's just having a drink of water, she tells the dispatcher. It's taking the longest time for this policeman to come. And Michael's getting more and more anxious. Antoinette keeps talking to him, and then you hear her say, it's going to be all right, sweetie, she calls him. I just want you to know that I love you, okay? And I'm proud of you. That's a good thing you've given up. Don't worry about it. We all go through something in life. Everything's going to be okay. And then finally you hear the policeman arrive. And you hear Antoinette breathe the biggest sigh. And you hear the dispatcher say, you are awesome. And Antoinette says, I have never been so scared in all my life. Later in an interview, when she's asked about how on earth she managed to do what she did, and they play for her this little clip of her speaking with Michael. First of all, she says, that was nobody but God's grace and mercy. I can truly tell you, I was terrified on the inside. And she goes on to describe how her pastor started a series just that previous Sunday on being anchored in the Lord. And I told myself, she says, on Monday morning, I was going to get up and start studying that morning. So I studied on Monday and also on Tuesday. He had been talking about how you anchor yourself, not actually allowing life's cares to overwhelm you, but allowing yourself to be anchored, not allowing the situation you're in to dictate your actions. And that's what I was doing, she says. I was praying, asking God to help me, to give me the words to say. She talks about feeling compassion for Michael. I knew he was doing this for whatever reasons in his life, she says. And I knew that God sent people to me when I was in my time of despair. And now I was there for him. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? But love your enemies. Do good and lend. Expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be called the children of the Most High. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge. Do not condemn. You might be able to do that, Jesus. And yet, here's Antoinette Tough doing it. and what she's revealed to us about how that was possible for her, I'm guessing is exactly how that is possible for Jesus. Opening to the flow of God's presence that is love. Turning to, being rooted in, anchored in, the reality of God with us. The reality of God's presence that is love and mercy for all. It's not just a Jesus thing. It's the thing that if we watch him, that Jesus in the fullness of his humanity shows us is available, possible for us all. And as Antoinette describes, it comes by way of a practice. This turning, this rooting, this anchoring. Give and it will be given to you, Jesus says. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap, as if to say, assume somehow a posture of generosity, of moving toward, and it will be followed by ever so much more than was yours at the outset. Whew. Or as the writer of the psalm encourages, instead of fretting, which only serves to pull us hook, line, and sinker into the hurt or harm, and occupy all the imaginative and energetic space that we have, let that space, whether it is your voice, your body, your vision, your strength, let it be filled instead with love's presence and power, love's wisdom and mercy. It's not just a Jesus thing. Thanks be to God. Amen.